glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, March 14th, 2016, and I'm excited. We pulled it off. Our friend has returned from Washington, D.C. Marcus, I consider you already a friend. I appreciate the story you recently wrote, and in fact, you've been on the front page. I loved your article about Willie Somerville and the blessing he's been to our community and so many other things that you've written, and I told our listeners yesterday, Marianne, as you and I were talking about, Lord willing, we'd get Marcus back from Washington, D.C., and he'd be available. So thank you for stopping by our studios. And is this maybe your first radio interview? Now, usually you're doing the interviews of people to write an article.
You know, I've done some in the past. I do radio here locally with DWS and our station, so I do some of that stuff. But usually it's me interviewing other people. But when I was covering basketball for a long time, stations from other cities would call to ask me about the Illinois team. So they'd have me on to do stuff like that. So I've been on this side of it a few times before.
Great. Well, you have a good voice already.
Maybe some of our listeners are recognizing that voice then.
They might if they listen to DWS. I'm usually on Monday nights and Wednesday nights on the sports shows.
Great. Well, we're appreciative of carving out some time to be here. And Marianne, you know, we've been working on some terms. Yesterday, we were trying to figure out what Marcus's title or what's on his business card, because we were talking about, is he an author or a journalist or a columnist? And then Huey Freeman of the Decatur Herald and Review said, he's a reporter. He's a reporter. He texted me that message. So I thought I would have our Great News Radio columnist.
Thank you.
If I can say that right, columnist, introduce this reporter, Marcus Jackson, who recently wrote an article. And I've asked you to come in and read it for our listeners because I thought you really captured the essence of the mission of the humanitarian project that we were working on in Israel. And I had lots of feedback from our listeners. And so we'll reference that story in just a minute, you know, set it all up for you to read it. But from one columnist that wants to learn from Marcus, actually, to a reporter. I'll give you the honors.
I love it that you're letting everyone in on our background conversations. Just, they're kind of like mundane in a way. What do you call that? I don't know. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. It is an honor to introduce you, Marcus Jackson, to our listeners. And you're originally from Chicago, I think you said, working with the News Gazette for 12 years.
That's
The first 8 or 9 was on the sports reporting venue.
Yeah, it was. I did a lot of high school sports, Illinois football, and also mainly Illinois basketball.
Wow. So you were in the John Gross era.
Yeah, exactly. Soon after he got hired, our basketball writer left to take another job elsewhere, and I jumped up on the beat, and I was there for John Gross's first game, and unfortunately his era has come to an end, but I was there for front row seat for most of it, and it was always rather entertaining.
Oh, wow. And then you became the community reporter.
Yeah, December 2015, I made the switch over to the news side of our operation to, you know, kind of get a different feel for things and to write about some different things. And I've learned a lot. I've gotten to meet, you know, people like yourselves, like you and Mark, and got to hear those kinds of stories and something different than what I've been used to. You know, sports has been a big part of my life for a long time, and I wanted to step outside of that and, you know, learn some new things. And I think it's been pretty good so far.
Well, I know Mark and I were both kind of interested. We were talking to you earlier about how does that work for you? What do you do? How do you get your leads? What's it all about?
You know, I'm fortunate enough to have some really good editors who I know Mark has met at the News Gazette, Jeff D'Alessio and Jim Rosso. They do a really good job of having a pulse on the community and knowing a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And people, you'll call them and give them tips, or they hear things and they'll present a lot of them to me, and they'll feel like it's something that's up my alley or something I can do a good job with, mm-hmm. and they'll send me out to do it. So that's how most of it comes up. Every once in a while I'll hear of some things, or somebody will approach me about something and I'll bring it to them and, you know, make a game plan on how to cover it. But, you know, a lot of the ideas I get are from our editors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a few weeks back I attended a meeting. They were soliciting kind of information from subscribers and those in the community, and how can we serve you better. Or,
you were, you know, at that meeting.
Yeah, it was a great meeting. That's when I mentioned an offhanded comment that we're going to be going to Israel. And he goes, sounds like an interesting story. And then Marcus called me up within the day or the day later.
Wow.
And we started talking, and he came in and put together this great story, front page. And so when I mentioned on the air and to a couple people that you might be in, they said, how does he pick his stories?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different activities going on or directions that you can take. Mm-hmm. Do you get to sometimes say, I think this would be a great story, I'd love to write about it?
Yeah, a little bit. And my role is a little bit different than most of our other writers, is they all have beats. You know, we have an education writer, so she'll cover most things involving the schools in the area. We have a University of Illinois writer, and she'll cover, you know, those things. And, you know, people have kind of specialty areas, and I don't really have one of those. So I'm kind of free to branch off and do some different things. And, you know, a lot of it, again, it comes from the ideas of the editors. But every once in a while, I'll see some things, and I'll think it might make a good story. I'm trying to think. We started a column recently. It's called About Town Riot, where I spent some time with local folks. And Sam Issa from Sam's Cafe in downtown Champaign, he's there. He, you know, I spend a lot of time there. I go eat there a couple times a week.
Single guys, we eat out a lot. used to eat out a lot.
Being there, and it always struck me how, you know, Sam knows everybody. You come in, he starts making your food before you even order because he knows what you want.
Fun.
And he's got the dialogue with everybody, knows their names. And I thought, well, Sam's kind of a unique guy. I don't think we've done anything about him. So ended up writing a column about him, and it turned out really well. And a lot of people appreciated that because a lot of people spend time with Sam. So little things like that, you just, you know, spend time around and you hear things and you get a feel for things and feel like, you know, people might want to know those stories.
Well, I know your recent front page article on Willie Somerville this past week, and he was known by so many. Was there anything unique that you didn't know that as you interviewed people and they recounted some of his story that you thought, wow, did you know Willie Somerville?
I met him a few times at Yankee Ridge here in Urbana. They have a read-in every year, the African-American read-in, where they have, you know, some black men, including myself and Mr. Somerville, come in and read to the kids during Black History Month. And so I think I did that for... been doing that for 6 years.
Oh, wow.
And he was there every year for that, and he would always come in and just bring this different energy to the room. I didn't know much about him until then, and then every year I'd see him and he'd be that way, and I'd see him here and there around town throughout the course of the year, and he was always that way. And, you know, usually when people pass away, you hear all the great stories about them and things that they did, but you knew about those things while he was still
here. Exactly.
And so I knew that those things were genuine, and that's the kind of man that he was. Spoke to Preston Williams about Mr. Somerville, and he told me about, you know, one time he called Mr. Somerville's phone and it said, usually his voicemail recording, it will say, Jesus loves you. And he was waiting for the beep so that he could leave a message, but it was Mr. Somerville playing a prank on him. He was actually on the phone. So he wanted him to leave a message, and Erica Harrell told me that she came back after she won Miss America and did a speaking engagement there, and he surprised her with the chorus and had her join the chorus and sing for them and kind of put her on the spot a little bit, but she appreciated doing that and kind of reliving some of her old high school memories with him as well.
Do you have a favorite story these many years that something you love to tell or you'd tell your grandchildren when you get the opportunity?
So there's a story with Dick Butkus, the former Illinois football player, out at the Rose Bowl when Illinois made it back in 2007.
Oh, yeah.
He was there, and I was still pretty young in my career at that point, so I hadn't really rubbed elbows with a lot of famous people yet, and he's standing there, and I was kind of nervous. I wanted to go talk to him to write a story about him, but I was like, you know, none of these other old reporters who've been doing this for a long time, they're not bothering him. Maybe he doesn't like being bothered. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm getting kind of nervous, and I'm like, man, I'm going to miss out on this opportunity to talk to Dick Butkus. And then after a while, I was like, you know what? Let's just go do it. Let's see what happens. So I go over there, and I say, Mr. Butkus, do you got a minute for me? And he looks at me, and he's a big man. He's about 6'3", intimidating, as you can imagine. And he goes, what the heck took you so long?
Oh, my word.
I looked up, and I was so nervous. He goes, I'm just messing with you. He goes, what you got? And so we start talking, and then everyone else kind of followed after that. So that was always pretty fun, one of the ones I remember a lot from early in my career.
Kind of an icebreaker for future interviews, like what's to be worried about?
You know, exactly. If I can approach Dick Butkus to talk to him, I can probably approach just about anybody.
That's a great story. So the Dick Butkus story, was that while you were at Eastern studying or later in your career?
It was later. I was at the News Gazette by that point. I think I was 25, so it was about 3 or 4 years after I had arrived at the News Gazette, and it was kind of a unique deal, you know, coming from Eastern. It's a smaller school.
Right.
You know, we had a great football team. Tony Romo, the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, was the quarterback when I was in school there. We had good teams, but you don't go to the Rose Bowl when you're at EIU.
Right.
So that was pretty fun. But, you know, I enjoyed my time at Eastern. I wrote for the student paper there for a year. Played baseball for 4 years there. So didn't have a whole lot of time to do the writing thing while I was there. But I enjoyed my time there. And I guess that makes me a Central Illinoisan for the last 18 years now.
Even though you're a Chicago native.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
I grew up in the suburbs.
Well, you have definitely made it to the front page of the News Gazette a number of times. So we have one here.
But before you describe this front page article, in case somebody just just tuned in, we have in the studio with us Marcus Jackson. He's a reporter from the News Gazette, but so much more. You're personable. You're out into the community. You also write a column called About Town, mm-hmm. so you meet a number of different people, influential people to community leaders to people with interesting stories. Appreciate you coming into the studio. And so on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, we have Marcus here primarily because I got to know him a few weeks back as he came into the studio and had learned that 56 of us were going to Israel, and so took down some notes. Now, I didn't see this. I started getting reports while I was in Israel.
I thought you
Mark,
did.
Mark, you're famous. Yeah. You're on the front page here. There's a story going on. I'm going, really? Because
no,
after you kind of left, you were very nice, but I thought, you know, it'd be a little two-sentencer on the back page, you know, very insignificant. And then when people said, it's a front page and it's a big photograph,
yeah.
I was kind of shocked, but was very pleased and continue to get feedback from it.
Yeah. It's the article from Thursday, February 23rd. Pilgrimage number 27. And big picture of you holding beanie babies and so forth.
Yeah, what's your photographer? Because I think he's getting close to retiring when I was at that meeting a few weeks ago.
Yeah, John Dixon. He's our photo editor now. And I think he's retiring here in a couple months. He's been with the News Gazette since the late 1970s, I believe, when he was still a teenager. He grew up in the area, and he's done a great job for a long time. And he likes to play a lot of golf, so I'd imagine he's got a lot of golf in his future.
Well, you like golf too, right?
I do. I play it a lot, not very well. But it's one of those games where it's really, really challenging and it frustrates you a little bit, but you start to see a little bit of progress and you want to stick with it.
I think he came in the next day after Marcus had left.
Okay.
And I brought in some paraphernalia from home, some Israel things. He goes, no, just sit there and grab some Beanie Babies. And I grabbed, you know, the 56 name tags and held it up, and that made the front page. I was like kind of shocked, but very pleased by the article.
He's a good photographer because it captures you. It's a great picture of you. You got your smile and everything. It's really good. Yeah, the article says, radio station manager goes to Israel so often they think he's a citizen.
Yeah, that classic line. Well put together. Well, we mentioned yesterday in the Monday edition, Mark and Friends, that there was a chance we'd have you in, and I just thought it'd be great to hear you read the story, and then we can kind of ad-lib or jump in or maybe give some other insight or information. But how about reading it for us? And
Before I start, I'll say, you know, it turned out so well, and a lot of the things that you do turn out well because of the people, the subjects as a part of it. You know, we sat here, I think it was about a half hour or so, and I knew that I had plenty of information, just didn't know how I was going to condense it. But you told great stories, and you were excited about it, and you, it seemed like you were really passionate about it. So I appreciated you spending some time with me to relive some of those things. And we probably could have talked for another half hour, if not longer, about some of those. But thanks again for taking the time for me to do that.
Appreciate you saying those kind things. I don't know. The article kind of speaks for itself. I think you really put it together well, and the essence of my passion or the people that I knew I was going to be taking, it was going to be a life-changing trip. Even like the banana joy, it's a good article. And then you, in the back side of the front section, it's a big portion. I mean, it's a pretty long story. How many words do you know?
I don't know how many words. We work in inch counts, and I think, you know, like one full length of a column in a paper is about 21 inches. So that one probably turned out to be in the 40 to 45 range, which is a little longer than normal, but there was just enough good information in there that
you're a great listener, Marcus.
Well, I appreciate that.
Really,
thanks.
Are.
It's easy when people tell great stories, when there's interesting stories to hear. So.
You're a great storyteller, Marcus. So would you be willing to read it for us?
Yeah, I can go ahead and do that. And
that's why we're paying you the big bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Oh, do you want a Coke or something?
No, I'm all right. But if you guys want to jump in at any point to ask me how I came up with a sentence or how I construct something, just feel free. So. He has so many Israel stamps on his passport that the customs agents there almost always ask Mark Burns if he's a citizen. As his accompanying blood donor card showing 8 donations in the country does nothing to offer clarity, they're intrigued. They wonder why this tourist is donating blood there, Burns said. I leave that in there intentionally. On Wednesday, Burns expected a similar interaction with the customs agent in Israel, which the Fisher resident visiting for the 27th time as part of a radio station WGNN and WGNJ's pilgrimage to the Middle East. Burns, along with 56 others, loaded onto buses Wednesday in Mahomet and drove to Chicago's O'Hare Airport, where the group flew east to begin a 10-day adventure that has been a regular occurrence since 1999.
Yeah, and I'll jump in. That blood donor card,
yeah.
It's like a green little card, and I always leave it right in with my passport. So when we go to passport control, the Israeli border patrol, they open it up, and they always see it, and they always kind of like, and they look at me and look at that and look at me.
Yeah.
And they many times will say, are you an Israeli citizen? Why would you donate blood on vacation? So
Wow. It's
always a great interaction. Mm-hmm.
Burns is a general manager for a radio group that began operations in 1996. As an appreciation for the station, a listener offered to send him and a group on a vacation in 1999. Having just seen a pamphlet touting Israel as a tourist stop, Burns chose it. We thoroughly enjoyed it, the sights, the sounds, the history, he said. It was kind of a vacation after 3 years of being on air. After returning from that trip, Burns decided the next 12 morning shows would be devoted to chronicling the group's experience during their 12 days abroad. We felt like it was an easy programming for 12 days, he said. They had much more material than we squeezed into 12 shows and would occasionally sneak details about the trip into subsequent shows.
Yeah, I'm always trying to multitask and how can you get out of the buck or whatever. And so I was thinking, we're there 12 days. Yeah, 12 morning programs, easy show prep. We'll just kind of highlight the sights, the smells, the sounds and make it really easy for the next 12 days. And, you know,
yeah.
A few months in, we were still telling some stories and little glimpses. But it was kind of neat. And the original person who continues to support the station, he sent my wife and I on that very first trip. That was with Kay Arthur and Precept mm-hmm. Ministries. It was a group of 240, so there's 6 busloads.
Gracious.
And so really came back wanting to tell
you
stories.
Took.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
After a month and a half, a handful of listeners indicated they'd be interested in going should WGNN decide to organize another trip. Burns jumped at the chance. We contacted 20 close friends and felt like if we botched the trip, they were friends and wouldn't disown us, he said.
Yeah.
It was fabulous. And the next section starts, the governor's help. In some years, Burns had led as many as 3 tours with different groups, mostly for sightseeing purposes. But for some, the mission of the trips changed in 2000 during the Palestinian uprising against Israel, known as the Second Intifada. Mm-hmm. Tripgoers wondered what they could do to help the folks over there. Some of the people had been on previous trips, and they said they loved the touring. They loved hearing the biblical insights, seeing the archaeological digs, but they wanted more of a hands-on experience with the people, Burns said. Wanting to make a difference, Burns & Company affiliated with a few Israeli hospitals, which treated everyone, Palestinians, Arabs, Druze, Jews, and Christians. We liked that their doctors represented all people, Burns said. Around the same time, former Illinois Governor Jim Edgar and his wife Brenda were involved in a program collecting teddy bears for children. They counseled Burns on how to go about collecting the bears to take to the kids in Israel. On the next trip, Burns and the touring group were slogging through O'Hare with large, transparent garbage bags filled with teddy bears as hundreds in the terminals looked on.
Yeah, I think there was close to 2,000 teddy bears, and
oh
it was
my.
Like 10 of us being Santa Claus as these humongous industrial strength, I don't know, like 10-ply, whatever
yeah.
the ply is, these thick garbage bags, but they were see-through, and we were dragging them through
oh
O'Hare where
goodness.
People literally were stopping. And Governor Edgar lived kind of across the river and upstream a little bit in a much nicer area,
yeah, yeah.
bigger homes with big
yeah.
gates and such,
sure.
but we were downstream, and we got to know each other, and uh-huh. Brenda Edgar came over, and we were looking for a way to show support because of the terror strikes, and
yeah.
that was during a time where there were suicide bombers and other issues going on, and tourism had halted, and so nobody was going over. So just our mere presence there was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then we said, should we donate medical supplies or other things? And they said, no, just be in there and maybe bring in some teddy bears. And mm-hmm. so that's when we launched our first humanitarian missions project over
that's
there.
That's neat.
That trip was phenomenal, Burns said. The hospital let us have free rein going room to room. I was amazed at that. We had like 4 different floors with all our teddy bears. On this trip, teddy bears would once again be in tow, along with Beanie Babies and various school supplies. When we first started doing this, I remember seeing distinctly these little Ethiopian children. Most of them started crying. They had never seen or held a teddy bear, Burns said. They lived in mud huts, and they were probably also nervous, because who are all these strange people?
Mm-hmm.
You give them a teddy bear and they didn't know what to do with them. By the end, they were smiling and hugging them and understood they were fun little toys.
Yeah, that was powerful because they had told us they had come from mud huts. They had not had any kind of cuddly, furry, fun things. And I remember Larry Bunning and other of these adults getting on all fours and playing with the kids. And
I see Larry
really,
doing that.
It took a while for them to warm up, and then they saw how to handle them as a toy.
On this trip, the agenda also calls for donating blood, volunteering at a soup kitchen, visiting hospitals, and if the weather cooperates, planting trees on hillsides outside Jerusalem. In the past, Burns led groups, have painted murals, built playhouses for kids, hung curtains, and done some gardening at a senior center. Mm-hmm. We still toured, but we built humanitarian projects into it, Burns said. This year's trip cost attendees $3,000 apiece. It includes airfare, lodging, meals, and everything in between. The majority of the tourists are listeners from the radio station and come from surrounding communities. But five in the party that left Wednesday are from Texas, three are from Virginia, and one joined from Washington, D.C. If there's something not built in that the tourists want to see, all they have to do is ask Burns. He says he does all he can to make sure Israel-based guide Eitan Ritov, who's working his 26th tour with Burns, can accommodate. One time, some firefighters in the group wanted to visit an Israeli firehouse. Ritov delivered. Other times, several women wanted their pictures taken with Israeli defense forces, and a group of pastors wanted to get tattoos. Done and done.
Yes, that's. Done I always done. Tell people, you have not because you ask
that's
not.
That's great. Yep. Okay.
Another time, as the tourists were walking the streets of Jerusalem, they saw the Via Dolorosa, believed to be the pathway Jesus took from Pontius Pilate's place to his crucifixion. Some people just cry throughout that, Burns said. It really affects them. There are light moments, too, thanks to Ritov, who tricks tourists every time they visit a banana plantation just off the Sea of Galilee. As the bananas are growing, they're covered with large plastic bags to keep them from over-ripening. Every time, people ask what that is, and he says that's how GLAAD produces their garbage bags. Mm-hmm. They grow them on trees. It looks like they're growing on trees, Burns said. He gets someone with that joke every time.
Yeah, that's a classic. And I think they keep the bananas so they can be all uniformed, so they can ripen at the same time
because
of shipments and orders and such.
Burns didn't make a trip in 2016, and he's cut back to just one per year. But before leaving for number 27, there was already talk about number 28. Grouping people together and pampering them and helping them feel cared for takes a lot of energy and effort, he said. I already have 10 people asking about 2018 already, so I'm pretty certain we'll do one in the spring of 2018.
And I'll say, Marcus, that since you wrote this article, while I was in Israel, I had three different people saying, when's the next trip?
Oh.
And someone from California that must read the News Gazette online, because it was an old pastor that I knew 25 years ago that said he had three or five guys that were interested in, like, the touring and the humanitarian effort, so that it would be a combination of both. So I just
added to your workload, apparently.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I'm almost wondering, do I do two trips in 2018? One maybe more focused on humanitarian and one on more touring. So praying that all up. Not sure yet, but there'll probably be something in the works in the days ahead.
Well, Marcus, thank you so much for doing this for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thank you all for your time and for sharing that story. And you got some good feedback myself on that one as well.
And if a listener is intrigued about, you know, maybe someday being a reporter or a journalist or a columnist, or maybe they have a story, do they contact you, or is there an email or an info@newsgazette.com or something for them to get in touch with you or the News Gazette for a story?
Yeah, it could be me or whoever. I can give you my information. It's mjackson@news-gazette.com. And then my number at the office there is 217-351-5604. And if they want to send me anything and I feel it's better served in someone else's hands, I will certainly forward it along.
All right, Great News Radio listener, now that you know how it's done, get to work or contact Marcus with maybe a story lead or just give him thanks for the great reporting that he's done over the past few weeks and, for that matter, the past number of years. If you've read his columns on the front page or his About Town column, or maybe in the past you appreciated his take on the sports beat. And so we appreciate you, Marcus, being available. And thank you, Marianne, for coming in today and being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.